Hey everyone, welcome to the Stories of Language Learners. I'm your host, Charles. Okay, unfortunately, I'm gonna have to start the podcast with some bad news. I'm sorry about that, but I have to share this with you. So, if you follow the podcast Instagram account, at this point, you probably have noticed that I have not been active there, but this is not my fault, and here is why. Dear Instagram, out of nowhere, decided to suspend my account. I have no idea why. I tried to recover it, and unfortunately, I couldn't. The sad part is, I lost 2 years of working there. I had more than 100 posts and we were a lot of people there. Anyway, all that to say, I started a new Instagram account. I will not give up. I still love the platform. Instagram allows me to connect with you. Also, I think that more than half of the guests I met because of Instagram. Okay, that's it. Please feel free to connect with me on the new Instagram account. You can find the link in the show notes. Now let's get into today's episode. Today's guest is Julianne. She's the founder and creator of the Minimersion community and Minimersion event. I am so excited to introduce her and her work with you guys. Something happened during this recording and this almost did not happen. But Julianne was so kind to stay longer with me to be able to record the episode. You guys will know what happened when you listen to the episode. Anyway, please make sure to connect with Julianne and show her some love. She's the best. Here are some of the things we talk about. Can you guys hear these dogs? Oh gosh. I can't believe that when I start recording the podcast, my neighbor's dogs start barking. This is crazy, but anyway, I'm gonna continue. Here are some of the things we talk about. Julianne shared with us her journey learning Japanese and Yiddish. What is immersion learning? Should you use immersion learning? Why should you be self-compassionate when learning a new language? How to find the best language learning path? What is Minimersion? How you can join the Minimersion event? I had an amazing time talking with Julianne and I'm pretty sure that you guys are gonna love this episode. Learning a new language changed my life. And I'm sure that it can change yours too. One of my main goals with this podcast is to share amazing and inspiring stories from other learners so we all can stay motivated and get inspired over and over again. I hear on a daily basis how much you guys love and appreciate the show. So now you can support the work I've been doing with this podcast by becoming a member on Patreon. All the financial support there will go to the podcast and our community. Also, by becoming a member on Patreon, you'll get extra content. The link to join us on Patreon is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your support. Yeah, sometimes almost 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, it's recording. Thank God. I am so happy that everything finally seems to be working. So let's and give
is
some.
Is your stuff from the first part that we recorded like safe? Is it okay? Or do we need to start over?
Only God knows if I'm going to be able to save everything. This is so sad. So for those of you who are listening, something, the weirdest thing just happened. In the middle of the recording, everything stopped. My computer got crazy and it stopped. Julianne, you are so kind for doing this and for coming back to have this chat with me. Thank you so much. And also, you guys, you probably won't be able to hear this, but I mentioned that in the last time that Julianne and I we were recording, that we were planning this conversation for about 1 year, right?
This is true.
Back in September of last year, we had a chat on Instagram and I said, Julianne, I would love to have you on the podcast. I just finished recording season 4. I have no idea when I'm going to start recording new episodes, but I would love to have you. And here we are, 1 year later.
We made it happen.
And then when everything happened, my computer got crazy. Okay, so I'm gonna start again with the question that I prepare. I'm gonna pretend that I didn't hear anything.
Okay.
And also I'm gonna encourage you guys to go over Julianne's Instagram and send her some love, because she is willing to be here with me for extra time for us to go through all the questions. So thanks again. You are the best.
Anything for you.
Awesome. Okay, so could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, my name is Julianne. I'm known on the internet, though, as Leafling or Leafling Learns. I am 29 years old and I work in marketing and design here in the United States. But on the internet is where I talk about language learning and specifically self-compassionate language learning. I'm studying Japanese and Yiddish. I've been studying Japanese longer than Yiddish, and I like DIY projects and being outside.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. And something that I mentioned the last time that we recorded is that I really admire you for like building a community and managing this whole community while having a full-time job. Because, I mean, I know by experience, it's a lot. I have the community from the podcast. I love doing this and I hope that I can keep doing this, but it's really challenging, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally not what I anticipated at all. Like, as with how your podcast started in 2020, my Instagram and stuff started in 2020 as well. I initially was starting to focus on really learning Japanese seriously again because I was intending to go to Japan in March 2020. That didn't pan out because of events. but then I decided, like, I'm gonna take it seriously. I'm really going to learn Japanese this time around. And I started the Instagram for accountability. And from there, it just kind of snowballed into me running events and me running a community. And I really, it is a lot of work, but I feel so lucky to get to connect with language learners from all around the world. And I've met so many interesting and thoughtful and kind people. And I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, me too. It's so rewarding, right?
It is. It is.
Being able to connect with people from other cultures. And this is why I love this podcast as well. I had the opportunity to meet so many awesome people like you and the other guests that I had in the past.
Your guests are so amazing. Grateful. You have so many cool guests.
Thank you. And you are the coolest.
Stop it. Yes. Don't say that.
Because I don't know if someone else would say, oh, I can go longer. Because I usually ask guests for 1 hour of their time. And yeah, thanks for doing this. Anyway,
no problem.
Okay, so the next question that I have here is, could you share with us your journey with language learning? When did you start learning language?
Yeah, so I was really ineffective at language learning for like 15 years. I was always super interested in language learning. Like ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to learn, Welsh and Icelandic and Arabic and yada, yada, yada. I don't speak any of those languages now, so don't ask me to. but my one true love from a pretty young age was Japanese, and I started trying to learn that at age 14 or so. And I actually started that learning journey by attending a Japanese immersion summer camp where we called all the camp counselors sensei. Like they all spoke Japanese to us all the time and we were eating Japanese food at every meal. And it was a lot of fun. It was so much fun. And I felt really lucky to get to go to that. But at the same time, I was a very self-conscious young person. I was really uncomfortable with speaking. I was really scared. I felt like I was being judged by everybody and probably myself for not being perfect. So I didn't really talk very much while I was there. I absorbed a lot, but I was too shy and self-conscious. So I didn't speak very much. If I did speak, it was mostly in English. But, after being at camp as a young teen, I started reading about immersion learning more online. And I was really enchanted by the methods that I learned about. And I kept starting and giving up on Japanese for years and years and years and years and years, a really extremely long time. And it wasn't until 2020, as I said, that I started discovering how to actually be kind to myself as I learn languages and to let go of some of the really harsh expectations that I had of myself. And that's when I finally started to make progress, luckily.
Yeah. And I talked about it as well before, but as humans, we are so hard on ourselves.
Yes.
We want to achieve things faster. We don't want to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And also, sometimes, like, advertisement things don't help because sometimes I see, like, advertisement for fluency in 3 months in English.
Yeah.
This is insane.
We exist in a society centered around instant gratification, and that, you know, proliferates the marketing around some of these language learning products as well. And it's hard not to expect a lot of progress from ourselves and to be really hard on ourselves for not being able to meet those expectations.
Yes, and any language that you are intending to learn, it's a long, long life journey, right?
Yeah.
It never ends.
You don't hit the like 100% mark and move on, you know, it doesn't work like that.
Yes, and I thought to myself, I need to learn everything before I start to speak in English, because if I don't know it, like,
yep.
If I don't know things, I'm gonna be like, I don't know, I will feel like I'm so afraid to make mistakes, and I think I'm gonna get into situations that I don't want to get into. I need to know everything before, and obviously this did not work.
Yeah, I think it's a mindset that a lot of people can fall into, and it makes sense. I mean, I was in that camp for a long time, but I think overall it's kind of just damaging and just feeds into our fears, you know, and it's not necessarily justified.
Yeah, and two things that you mentioned that I think it's interesting, because I can relate to that, it's being shy to speak a new language, because I'm so shy, you have no idea. And when it's interesting, because when I tell to people, oh, I'm a shy person, and people say, you don't seem like a shy person, but the reality is that I've been doing this, like, having conversations in English, and also with the community of the podcast, I host English speaking sessions, and I've been doing this for more than 2 years, so I was able to get confident and to develop this skill, and now I feel less shy.
It's really like a muscle you have to exercise, I feel, because I mean, I think people are surprised to learn that I am often shy as well. They're like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know, like I am sometimes. But yeah, especially with speaking a language that's not your native language, it's such a vulnerable feeling. It is so vulnerable because you're really putting on display, like, here's what I guess I'm capable of, like, here it all is laid out, like, don't hurt me. So it's a very nerve-wracking experience.
Yes, you have to constantly get out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And I had to do something in order to start using English, which is a language that been learning for a long time, and when I realized that, okay, nothing bad is gonna happen with me if I mess up, I'm gonna be okay.
Yes. I think it's so important to, like, not only give yourself that space to make mistakes, but to find people to talk to who actually create that space for you where you make mistakes and you aren't injured, you know, and you're like, oh, like, yes, I'm getting more evidence that this is safe and like, I'm okay, I can do this. And it gets easier the more evidence you give yourself.
Yes. And at this point, I sound like a broken record, but I keep saying that. We don't have to be alone when learning, right?
Yes.
We can find awesome communities to be part of.
I was convinced that I was on my own, like, forever. I was just like, this is just how it is. Like, I just have to do this by myself. But I've met so many amazing people that have shown me the error of my ways.
Yes, and the cool thing is that sometimes you are going to meet people who have a lower level so you can teach them. And when you teach, this is powerful because you will learn more. And sometimes you are going to interact with people who have higher levels so you can help each other and you can learn from them.
It's all valuable, yeah.
And sometimes I mean, I heard before people saying, why are you trying to learn with other learners? This is going to make your English worse. You won't improve. But I think this is a misconception, because I will say that 99% of the people that I interact with and that I have interacted with during my whole journey were with people who are non-native English speakers, and I'm here speaking this language.
You're doing great.
And surviving.
Yeah, this take frustrates me so much, because I mean, it makes sense. I feel like it comes from a place of fear of, like, solidifying mistakes forever, right? But at the same time, I don't know, I think it allows for an unfortunate amount of like superiority over other people to be like, oh, I know what's best. Like, I know that I shouldn't talk with other learners because that will solidify things. So, like, anybody who does that is, like, below me. So it's a very safe space to be in, right? right to be like, I'm not engaging with this and thus I'm better, right? So I won't get into it any further, but I am very annoyed by that kind of thought process and assertion.
Yeah, let's kill these bad people. I'm kidding. That was a dark joke. Oh my gosh. Awesome. Okay, so let's go to the next question I have here. Walk us through your learning process. Did you use a different method for each one of the languages you've learned, or did you use the same learning approach to all of them?
So for Japanese, I've tried a whole bunch of methods. Obviously, I won't go through all of it, but what I typically do is immersion learning. So learning through doing things in the target language. So learning from something that I'm reading, play a video game, pick up new words and grammar that way, watch stuff. So that's really like, I don't know, like 80 to 90% of what I do. I sometimes use grammar textbooks, mostly because I just really enjoy reading about grammar, and I simply will not keep myself from doing that. I love it. And I also do an italki lesson maybe every week or so to get some speaking. And for Yiddish, though, I'm doing something very different. And I decided to try something out of my comfort zone. I started speaking right away in classes because I didn't start speaking right away with Japanese. I was too scared to. So I took a long time to work myself up to doing that. But with Yiddish, it's interesting because obviously maybe some people don't know what Yiddish is, but it's a Jewish language. You'll find it in New York. You'll find it in Europe. But basically, there's a very vibrant community around it, but it is technically an endangered language. It's a very small number of speakers compared to other languages. And so the difference in how many resources are available for Yiddish versus Japanese it's like night and day. It's crazy. And with Yiddish, part of why I wanted to learn Yiddish was to connect with my own heritage, and thus connecting with a community of people who share my heritage and share my interest in learning this language is a very powerful experience. And it's a completely different experience to learning about a culture that isn't your own. So I really appreciate having that connective experience with my teachers, with other learners of Yiddish. So I was nervous, but I jumped right into some online classes through the Workers Circle, where I'm speaking right off the bat. And from there, I have started reading and doing some more kind of aborigine things, looking words up as I come across them and all that.
You are really brave, like, to get into a language that has not so many resources, right? As you mentioned, like, this is a language that can die, right? Not too many people are willing to learn a language that is not so used.
I will say, out of the endangered languages, Yiddish is pretty safe because there's like a newfound interest in keeping it alive. There are a lot more resources compared to other endangered languages, but obviously, like, it's not a country of people making TV shows all the time, you know what I mean? It doesn't compare to Japan, but yeah, it is definitely less resources.
Yeah, and sometimes I hear like people complaining about, oh, it's so hard learning like English, I don't think that I will be able to do that. But there are so many resources, like, for free.
It's true, yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that more than half of my journey was just using free resources.
Hell yeah.
Another thing that you mentioned that I think is interesting is the way that you learn. You are experimenting new things. And now that you are learning Yiddish, right?
Yeah, Yiddish.
And the reason why I like to ask this question about the learning process, it's because it's so interesting to see that people learn in different ways. And there isn't like the perfect way of learning. And I love hearing different perspectives.
I agree. Yeah. There's no one perfect way for all people. We're all different.
Yeah. There isn't like a magical formula or something.
I wish
like that.
There were, but there's not.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the next question is about immersion. I would love to talk about it with you a little bit more. And okay, so what are your thoughts about immersion learning? Would you recommend immersion learning to language learners?
Yes, big yes. I would absolutely recommend it. I think it is, obviously, I don't think there's a best way, but I think it's one of the best ways to learn, in that eventually every language learner is going to be immersing in native content. You're going to be doing it at some point. Why not start as soon as you can? Because you can learn a lot from it. I think it makes learning so much more engaging, and it is so helpful in, you know, really getting a feel for the language, learning the rhythms of the language that you might not learn in a textbook necessarily. I will say some of the communities online around immersion learning are a little problematic to me, but the technique itself I'm down for. Just for many years, I took specific all or nothing style techniques that I had learned about as gospel. And because I couldn't dedicate all of my free time to language learning, and I didn't necessarily want to, I constantly felt like a failure. So this may be just a personal problem, but there's some messaging around like how you should be learning, around what's bad for your learning, like such as using grammar textbooks. Some immersion learners say like, don't learn about grammar. It's just some of this messaging is so harsh, and it doesn't account for people having changing moods, changing energy levels, different interests. And it just, if this kind of, these mindsets that were kind of out there fed directly into my debilitating perfectionism. And it made me feel like I was never doing enough. Like, and I never would feel like I was doing enough. Even if I was spending 20 hours a day, I'd probably be like, why am I not spending 24 hours? You know, and that's a personal problem, yes. But just because the messaging never mentioned, like, it's okay to rest. Like, I was all or nothing thinking it all the time. So it wasn't until I started avoiding some of these communities and experimenting with mixing things up on my own terms that I finally felt like calm and safe enough to really explore the language and start making real progress with like my own brand of immersion learning.
Yeah, I love that, because there are so many different interpretations about immersion learning, right?
Yes.
And I would love to hear from you, how do you define for you immersion learning?
I mean, I think just any time spent with native media is immersion learning. I don't think you have to be actively like making Anki cards or anything necessarily during these immersion activities. And I would also say that I think interacting with native speakers or other speakers of the target language counts as immersion as well, which I think some people don't sometimes. I don't, like, it's very confusing to me, but I think that counts as well. So, you know, sometimes I'll be extensively reading something where I'm not necessarily looking everything up, and I think that counts. And sometimes I'll be intensively reading where I really like to, you know, puzzle out a sentence, figure out exactly what's going on in the sentence, look up words, take notes, that kind of stuff. And I think it's all good. It all counts.
Yeah. And the reason why I asked you that, because in the past I had a conversation with someone about immersion learning, and I believe that I used immersion learning at some point in my English learning journey. And I was explaining this to another person, and then the person said, oh, but immersion learning, not everybody have the chance to do this, because they have jobs, they have family, they have other duties. But what I meant by immersion learning, it's not like you have to stop your life to just
exactly
spend, yes, 24/7.
Yes, it doesn't have languages to be. You don't have to cut out your native tongue. You don't have to take it that seriously. It's fine. Like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing to still be effective. And if anything, it's more effective to do something that's sustainable, that fits into your normal real life, so you don't just burn out and like end up resenting the language
technique
or the activities. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be like that.
Yes, it's crazy, because if people like go to the internet and then start searching, then people say, oh, you need to spend 24/7 or more.
That's what I was reading. That's the kind of stuff I was reading as a 15-year-old.
Who have the time for it?
And that's the thing. Now that I have the perspective, I'm like, it doesn't necessarily add up to cut out talking to my friends. Also, I don't like consuming media all the time. Sometimes I like to just have quiet time, you know? But when I was a teenager and I was reading this, I was just like, oh, this is the way to learn a language. And if I can't do this, there's something wrong with me. Why don't I have the self-discipline to make this happen? And it's just like, most people shouldn't live this way if they don't want to burn out, straight up. I don't know. Like, I realize that some people love it. It really can work with some people's lifestyles, and that's great for them. But to assert that this is the only way to utilize immersion learning, it's not true. Like, it's just not true.
Yeah. And I remember that then I said to that person that, the way that I see immersion learning is not like stopping your life to just learn language. It's like taking time out of your schedule to dedicate as much as you can to your target language. And this is what I did, because I did not believe in myself that I would be able to learn English. I thought this language was too hard. And as I mentioned, I'm so shy to get out of my comfort comfort zone and to make these new sounds that are so strange. Like any new language, it's gonna sound strange for you when you first start using it. And I avoided for so long to start having conversations. And then I started to think to myself, if other people can learn language, why I can't? I have a brain and my brain works.
Yes.
I'm going to spend a lot of time and I'm going to use all the opportunities that I have to be in touch with English. I started to listen things in English, watch things in English, read things in English. And this really helped me. Now I have a podcast in English.
Hell yeah. Yes.
Which is insane. When I started this podcast, I thought, oh my gosh, nobody's going to hear this. But it's crazy that I have dear listeners who are with me in this journey and they keep coming back to listen to this podcast.
It's amazing. Shout out to the listeners.
Yeah.
Hey guys.
You guys are the best. Awesome. Okay. So next question, I think we already talked a little bit about it, but the question is, do you think that we as language learners should be self-compassionate while learning a new language?
Yes, I do. I sure do. You know, as we kind of talked about, it's so easy for language learners to be hard on themselves. And I think it's really easy to feel defeated when we have such a big, broad goal as becoming fluent. Like that's a lot. That's a whole big goal. And it's just like language learner takes so much time. It requires you to keep showing up and you're not always going to see obvious progress. Like it's not like something you can measure objectively. So I think it's essential to be self-compassionate on this journey. I just think being perfectionistic or talking to ourselves negatively can cause so much harm. And I mean, for so many years, I was really honestly mean to myself, straight up, about where I should be by now. Because right, I started learning Japanese 15 years ago. I should be fluent by now. I had all these ideas about how I should be spending my time, and it would just paralyze me. It would just cause me to cause more time to pass, right? So I would study like really intensely for short periods of time once I bullied myself into focusing or whatever. And then I would burn out completely because I was being so intense about it. And then I would just feel really ashamed. I would feel really ashamed of myself, so much so that I would avoid language learning for months or years at a time. And thus all of these years pass. And it wasn't until I learned to treat myself like a human being who I care about, who deserves rest and who deserves to feel good while language learning, that I was able to finally maintain consistency and actually just have fun while learning. Yeah. So yes.
I love that. And yes, I think we should be in general more compassionate towards ourselves and towards other people as well, right? To understand that we all live different lives, we all have different circumstances, we all have different things to deal with. And something that I think it's damaging for language learners is to compare themselves. And this is something that I had to learn. And this is something that I'm so grateful about this podcast, because each guest that I had in the past, I was able to learn and to get motivated by hearing their stories. And I remember there was one guest who said, please don't compare yourself with other people, but inspire yourself with other people's stories. And another guest said that enjoy the little wins, like the small accomplishments.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. It's so important to cultivate a habit of appreciating yourself for showing up, because if you just set all these high expectations, like you're just going to disregard all the efforts that you're putting in. It's not nice to do that to yourself.
Yes. And if we continue to like not being compassionate towards ourselves, we're gonna give up, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And like if you, of course, that fluency is the goal of everyone who is learning a foreign language. But why not, instead of dreaming to speak fluently nonstop, why not break your goal into small pieces and try to accomplish little by little? Be patient with yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Preach.
Oh, wow. I'm going to start a church, the Language Learning Church. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Amen.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. Okay, let's move on to the next question. What else I have here? How to find the best language learning path? We also talked a little bit about it. I think everything's kind of connected.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I can't speak for everyone, but I would say let go of worrying about finding the most efficient language learning path. I feel like it's so easy to fall into the path or the rabbit hole, really, of finding the best or the most efficient language learning path. But there's no best path for everyone. There's no one size fits all, yes. As we said. There's only the best path for you. And that will probably change over time, right? Like, it's not always going to be the same. I just feel like once you can start exploring different methods without constantly analyzing yourself and constantly analyzing your progress, instead just focus on figuring out what's most enjoyable for you and what's most sustainable for you in your real daily life, that's how you're going to find the best language path for you as a human being.
Yes, I love that. And this happened with me because I realized that, okay, I'm going to start learning English. So I'm going to buy this course and I'm going to do this course. And I really tried going to the traditional path, like doing courses.
Yeah.
Oh man, I was not motivated at all.
It was not so for everybody.
Yes. And I thought that, okay, I'm going to go there like for 2 years, 1 hour per week. And Yes. And then I'm going to accomplish everything that I wanted. But no, this did not happen. I ended up dropping out the first course that I did. And then I tried again in another English school and I did another course for 6 months. And then I realized this path is not for me. I'm going to try another path. And I ended up learning because I found a place that I feel that I belong, doing things that I love and then things that are not boring for me and that are enjoyable, right?
It's essential to not bore yourself to death.
Yes. Okay, so what else I have? Oh, this question I took from one of your videos from YouTube that I really loved.
And, oh, thank you.
Yes. And the question is, how do we stop giving up on language learning?
I mean, obviously, many people have no trouble being consistent with language learning, or they have no problems with like debilitating perfectionism or all or nothing thinking. So of course, my advice isn't for everybody, but it might be helpful to anybody who can relate to any of my experience that you've heard about so far. And I guess for me, how I stopped giving up on language learning was treating myself like a human being, accepting that my energy ebbs and flows and that my interests ebb and flow as well, accepting that most of us as humans crave novelty. So rigid plans don't often have us as human beings in mind, right? So like really creating your own flexible plan that allows for you to be a human being and allows us to like enact our free will can be helpful in not giving up. Really letting go of rigidity was huge for me. I think it's also important, if this applies to you, to acknowledge if any negative self-talk is going on. Sometimes it's really subtle, right? Speaking unkindly to yourself can be really subtle. And it can just be like, oh, well, that's what I believe. Like, I'm not being mean to myself. That's just what I think. That's what I believe about how I am or whatever. If you say you're lazy or you need more self-discipline or that kind of stuff. But it's like, most of the time, these types of thoughts are not helpful. So catching yourself, asking yourself if those things you're saying to yourself are true or helpful, and trying to just like interrupt those thoughts was really huge for me. Therapy can help. If you really struggle with this, I recommend therapy straight up. Because I mean, language learning, it doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? Like, it's our whole lives impact everything that we do. How we think impacts everything that we do. Anyway, focus on creating sustainable habits that are flexible, that have to do with your real life and not an idealized version of yourself. It's so easy to create a plan or like a routine that requires you to be able to do like 1,000 things per day and be like a perfect person. So don't write a plan for that version. Write a plan for who you really are, good days and bad. And something that I said to myself a lot was focus on consistency over intensity. Because as I said, I would be too intense and I would fall off the horse and then I would just be like waving the horse goodbye for like a year. And utilizing baby steps, as you said, and celebrating showing up when you do show up, celebrating the small wins, frequently checking in on yourself and how you feel, and giving yourself permission to experiment. Like, once you start finding it hard to keep up with a plan that you created, don't wait for yourself to have more self-discipline. Like, don't be like, oh, like next week I'm going to get it. Like, I'll just have more self-discipline. I really need to focus. Just accept this as data that your plan wasn't necessarily for you as you are. Just adjust and try something new before you start punishing yourself. You don't have to like shit on yourself unnecessarily. It's not going to motivate hate you.
Yes, yes, exactly. I love that. And you know what, something, while you were talking, you remind me something that I always hear this from my mom. And my mom, and this is something that I'm going to carry with me for the rest of my life. My
I'm mom excited.
Always says to me that words have power. So be careful with the words
yes.
you use, right? Sometimes if you are talking bad things about you, like, this will not help. Like, first of all, believe in yourself. Believe that you can do things. And don't just say bad things about yourself, that you can't see progress or things like that. And also, allow yourself to take a break, right?
Yes, please. It's not the end of the world. Like, it's okay. It will be okay.
Yes, yes. Because sometimes we don't feel progress. And sometimes we can't force ourselves to keep going if something's not working. So taking a break and then reevaluating things and then coming back, I think it's good too.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next session, I'm really excited about it because I really want people to know about this. So the question is, could you please tell us about mini immersion?
Yes, I can. My baby. So mini immersion is a combination of the words mini and immersion. It's an online event that I put on every other month where you create an at-home language immersion retreat for yourself for a full weekend, but it's for however much you can do. You don't have to spend 48 hours immersing, okay? Like, it's however much time you can fit.
And then
what?
Dig a hole and go inside it for 9 days.
No, not that serious. We just encourage you to put away textbooks for the weekend and try not to focus on leveling up your language learning, but just focus on truly enjoying some native media in your target language for however much time you have during the weekend. So this could be anything, you know, like watching TV, playing video games, chatting with another speaker, reading stuff, you know, listening to music, whatever. And I always create a bingo board every time for everyone. If they want to use it, they don't have to, but I make it to hopefully inspire people to mix up their immersion for the weekend if they want to. If you want to just do your comfort activities, that's cool too. Whatever makes you happy is great. It's just meant to be a low key time where you're not putting a lot of pressure on yourself. You're just focusing on having fun. And I will say that outside of the weekends themselves, the mini immersion community does have other social immersion activities like book clubs. In our Discord server, for example, right now we have an English book club, our first English book club.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, we have two Japanese book clubs. We have a Korean book club, German, and a Spanish book club as well going on. So there's always stuff to do, which is really fun.
That's awesome. So guys, please, after you listen to this podcast, go, first of all, follow Julian and then go to her Discord server, which is awesome. I am there as well in your Discord server.
You should check out the book club.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I was so happy when I saw that now you guys have like a Portuguese channel inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it keeps expanding that's organically amazing. For what the people need. So
also there is an English channel as well,
yes,
right?
Yes, we decided to make a dedicated English area for English learners. And I mean, the amazing thing about it is because it's a global community, we have so many native speakers of so many different languages, and they're all so kind and so thoughtful, and they are always supportive and willing to help learners of their native language. So, you know, obviously we have a ton of English speakers. It's kind of the lingua franca. So they're always willing to help out English learners in the English area.
See you guys after this interview. If you don't know what Discord yet, you should know, because I talk about Discord a lot in this podcast, which is an amazing tool that we can use to connect with other people. And unfortunately, I'm not so active there. I think I'm in way too many groups on Discord.
It can be overwhelming. It's crazy. Yeah, I truly only really focus on the mini immersion server because I'm running it and that's all I have time for. But yeah, you guys should join the English book club. Check it out.
That would be amazing. Okay, so now let's wrap it up with the rapid fire question segment. I have 9 questions here. Okay. You can answer them super quick, but feel free to expand in any of them. Okay. Number one, let's say your best friend called and said, hey, let's go out and grab something to eat. I will pay for everything. You can eat as much as you can. Plus, you can choose the place. Where would you go and what would you eat?
It's a hard question, but right now I think I would want Jamaican food. And I would get a jerk chicken and jerk pork bowl with sweet fried plantains and patty, which is like a pastry dough filled with some spicy meat. Sorry, vegetarians.
Oh, wow. Very specific.
Yeah. I thought about this one for so long. I was like, I need to really have a good answer for this one. And that's my truth.
I love it. Thanks for sharing. Okay, next one. Your birthday was coming and someone from your family decided to give you a gift. Give you as a gift a whole trip to any place inside your country. Where would you go?
I would like to go to Southern Utah. I've never been, but I love the desert and Southern Utah just looks stunning.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, what else I have here? What is one of your favorite things to do in your spare time?
Vegetable gardening.
Oh, I see on your stories a lot your garden. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you also have a cat. Your cat is so adorable.
Thank you so much. Her name is Fern. She's 2 years old and she's a perfect angel.
Oh, wow. I love cats. I don't have any right now, but I do love cats.
You gotta get one.
Okay, what else? I have here, what kind of TV series and movies do you like to watch?
Reality television and horror movies.
Oh, I love horror movies. Reality yeah. television. I should try that. I never tried.
Reality TV?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't watch reality TV, but...
Very entertaining. I love the drama. I live for the drama.
Cool. Is there a song that never gets old to you?
Young Americans by David Bowie.
Nice. Is there a book that you have read more than once?
The Lord of the Rings trilogy. Over and over again.
God, you know what? I just downloaded all the movies from The Lord of the Rings. And I'm gonna watch all of them because I think it's been more than 10 years since I have watched.
They are so good.
I want to refresh my memory to be ready for the new series that is coming out. Yeah. Are you excited about that?
I'm a little nervous about it.
Really?
I'm just very sentimental about the movies and I just don't want them to do like the world. I don't want them to do Middle Earth dirty, but I will watch. I will watch. I wouldn't say optimistic. Uh-huh. I'm just cautious.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch. I don't know if maybe this is going to be a mess, but I'm really excited. Awesome. Okay, so who has influenced your language learning journey the most?
My Japanese italki teacher. She has provided a safe space for me to make mistakes, and it has just helped so much with my feelings of self-consciousness around speaking Japanese and just letting me know that I'm not in danger when I make mistakes. She is just a perfect human being.
Amazing. Teachers are the best, right? I love all the teachers. I've interviewed so many awesome teachers in the podcast. I really admire their work. Awesome. Okay, so could you share two phrases or expressions you think people should know them? It can be in any language you want to share.
Yeah, so it feels strong to say that I think people should know them. They're just kind of ones that I like. So it's okay if you guys forget about them immediately, that's okay. Uh-huh. But in Japanese, I think this one's really funny. It's tombi gataka o umu, and it means literally like for a kite, which is a type of bird, to give birth to a hawk, which means to have a talented child despite being untalented yourself, which I just find hilarious. And I'm sure many parents relate. I mean, I'm not a parent. I'm just saying I think parents feel that way about their children a lot of the time. And then in Yiddish, I have to represent Yiddish. And please forgive my pronunciation. I am a baby at Yiddish. Der Mensch tracht und Gott lacht, which means the man plans and God laughs. Shit happens. Like you can't control everything, you know?
It's amazing. I loved these phrases. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And you know what? I would love in the future to be able to learn Japanese. I already talked about it on the podcast. And I thought to myself, Charles, you should stop saying that you are learning Japanese because you are not. You are just watching anime. By the way, I finished watching anime and looking for anime recommendations. I don't know. Do you like to watch anime?
I... I'm very picky. I really, when I'm watching fictional shows, it needs to be kind of like dark, like dark shows. So I really like Attack on Titan, if you haven't seen that.
Yes, I watched that. Very
okay.
Nice.
Okay. So good. Uh-huh. I'm so excited. Oh my God. I need
it's
more.
It's ending. It's so sad that this is ending.
It is sad. I know. Well, I started reading the manga so I can spend more time with it.
Yeah, very good recommendation if people are interested in anime.
Yeah, I don't think I can think of another one off the top of my head just because I don't watch a ton of anime. Oh, Monster. Have you seen Monster?
Monster? Not yet. I'm going to go
watch
with
that.
It.
Watch that.
For sure. Awesome. Thank you so much. This is an extra rapid fire question.
Yeah, put me on the spot.
Yes. Okay, last question. Where can people find you online?
You can find me mostly on Instagram, sometimes on YouTube, and rarely on Twitter as Leafling Learns. Just search as Leafling is one word, L-E-A-F-L-I-N-G, Leafling Learns. Just search that and you'll find me.
Awesome. I'm going to put in the description of this episode so you guys can connect with Julian.
Yeah. So, say hello. Yeah. Don't be shy.
Julian, thank you so much. I so appreciate you taking the time for being here with me and being here for a half hour extra.
I mean, thank you for having me. It's been a long time coming and it was worth the wait.
Awesome. So bye-bye and I'll see you around.
Bye.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you can, please share the podcast with your friends. Subscribe to the show so you can get notified when I release new episodes. And feel free to leave a review. I would love to read it. Now I have a message for you. Remember this, you don't have to be alone when learning a new language. You can find awesome communities to be part of. The number one reason why I was able to level up my English is because I decided to get out of my comfort zone and connect with language learners from all around the globe. So, if you have been struggling to improve your speaking skills, and if you can't find someone else to have a conversation, I want to encourage you to participate in our online encounters and to join our global community on Telegram. Since June of 2020, I've been organizing English speaking sessions on Zoom for us to hang out. In there, you can meet new people, make new friends, and practice English while having fun. If you can't use Telegram, don't worry. I always announce our encounters on social media, and you can always DM me so I can send you the link to our meetings. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.